Welcome back to the FPL Draft Hub podcast. You know what it's all about now. Looking back to game week 2 and ahead to game week 3. Welcome back, Draft Fantasy Football managers. If it's your first time listening, my name's Mitch and this is the FPL Draft Hub podcast, the podcast dedicated to Draft Fantasy Football. I'm going to be looking back over the events from last weekend and then having a look to the fixtures for game week 3 and trying to pick out some key players you might want to try and bring into your squad before the waiver deadline on Thursday. So it wasn't the greatest game week for the defenders, just 2 clean sheets around the Premier League. Everton kept their second clean sheet of the season and Sheffield United kept a clean sheet in a 1-0 win against Crystal Palace. And elsewhere around the league, there weren't too many surprises in terms of results. Arsenal beat Burnley, Liverpool beat Southampton, Bournemouth won at Villa, Brighton and West Ham drew, and there are definitely some new faces showing themselves to be potential fantasy assets this season. Few of the familiar ones haven't quite kicked into gear yet, but it's only game week 2, and I don't think it's really time to be making any rash decisions just yet. So looking ahead to game week 3, there are quite a few close matchups, but 3 that stick out in particular. Man United at home to Crystal Palace. I think it's a good game for Man U to continue to allow those front players to gel. I think Rashford and Martial will enjoy playing in that game alongside whoever slots in behind them, whether that's Lingard again, although he hasn't looked particularly impressive, or Daniel James, who is absolutely lightning quick. And if he continues to get game time, will surely pick up some assists and goals. I watched Palace play against Sheffield United at the weekend and they looked completely devoid of ideas going forward. Didn't look particularly impressive at the back either. I think Wan-Bissaka's going to have the main defensive task looking after Wilfried Zaha on Palace's left-hand side, but I think the rest of Man United's team should be able to have plenty of possession and look to get forward. I can see Luke Shaw spending much of the game over on the left wing. I think Paul Pogba as well should have plenty of opportunities to get forward. Can't see anything other than a United win. And if you're able to pick up any of those starting assets for United, then now's the time to probably do it. The second game that stands out is Liverpool against Arsenal, the late game on Saturday. A game that in recent history has had a lot of goals. It's tended to be Liverpool victories, but there have been a few score draws. I can see that pattern continuing this week. Liverpool's defence looking shaky in the absence of Alisson, and Arsenal showing signs of their creative players starting to gel up front. I can see Liverpool winning this game, but a scoreline of 3-2, 4-2, that kind of thing might be my guess. I can see it to be a very open game and not one where you want to be relying on any of the defenders to bring in a clean sheet for you. The final game that stands out is one of the late games on Sunday. Spurs at home to Newcastle. Can see this being a very comfortable victory for Spurs if Newcastle play anything like they have been for the first 2 games of the season. I watched Newcastle against Norwich at the weekend and they looked really, really poor. Showed no real signs of improvement compared with their first game against Arsenal. Defence looks disorganised. There's no real midfield there, and poor Joe Linton up front looks like he's going to have his work cut out to get up to speed of the pace and physicality of the Premier League. Spurs will have the option of Heung-Min Son back after a 2-game suspension, and Lucas Moura continues to follow on from the end of last year and be amongst the goals. He's really starting to remind me of Heung-Min Son from 2 seasons ago, when always seemed to make the most of his opportunities, score plenty of goals, but was never quite a nailed-on starter in the starting 11. I think Heung-Min Son, when he's fit now, has definitely earned his spot in that starting 11, and it just depends how Spurs line up as to whether Moura finds a spot there. I think if Christian Eriksen, if things are settling down from a contract point of view, he's got to start. That became evident when he came on as a substitute against Aston Villa in the first game. And I think in these sorts of games, at home to a weakened team, Spurs really should be going for a 4-2-3-1. I think Christian Eriksen starts in that number 10 role. Heung-Min Son and Moura either side and Harry Kane up front. In the middle 2 then you have Ndombele and Moussa Sissoko and the regular back 4. Playing the narrower 4-3-1-2 formation with Harry Winks in the middle hasn't really looked great to me in the past couple of games. Obviously was able to grind out a result against Man City, probably quite fortunately in the end. But I think against these sorts of teams, there's no real need to have three sitting midfielders in the middle. And from a defensive point of view for Spurs, I'll come on to it in a bit more detail in a bit. But looking at the odds from the bookies in terms of clean sheets for game week three, Spurs are the most odds on to keep a clean sheet. Probability of 57% to keep a clean sheet. And on the flip side, Newcastle are, I believe, odds on to concede with just a 9% probability of keeping a clean sheet next week. So I'm going to quickly look at the current FPL top point scorers after 2 weeks. And I think out of all of these that I read out, if any of them are available in your draft league, they're definitely worth picking up. Some more so than others. And I imagine most of them will already be taken by managers. But in first spot is Raheem Sterling on 26. In second spot, after a great display against Newcastle at the weekend, is Teemu Pukki on 24 points. Next is Marcus Rashford, who sits on 19 points. Barnes and KDB sharing 18. Luka Dean and Lundstrom at Sheffield on 17. Then Yerry Mina at Everton is on 16. And then finally, Salah, Peters, Mahrez and Kane all sit on 15 points. The only players from that list you might think twice about are Lundstrom from Sheffield United, who I'm going to speak a little bit more about in a sec, and Peters for Burnley. Peters is definitely one I'd consider picking up. Burnley don't have the best fixtures for the next two games before the international break. They're away at Wolves and then host Liverpool. So not ideal fixtures. But if you are able to sit him on the bench for a couple of weeks, they then have games away to Brighton, at home to Norwich, away to Villa and at home to Everton, where he definitely could have a good run there with two or three clean sheets and looks like one of the people who's going to provide some attacking returns and try and assist Barnes up front. But looking ahead to the waivers ahead of game week three, I'm going to do it slightly different this week rather than go through all of the teams. I'm just going to break it down by position, so you can target the area that you're currently lacking in. So not specifically by team, just going to go by each position in turn. So starting off with the goalkeepers, I've picked out three to look out for. Firstly is Henderson for Sheffield United. Got 9 points this week, including 2 bonus. Got an extra point for 4 saves. Sheffield United looked really, really tight at the back. They played a great game against Palace. Now, Palace admittedly weren't looking their greatest, weren't really showing much threat up front. But you can see that the kind of form that carried Sheffield into the Premier League with that tight defence is definitely continuing. I can see them keeping a few more clean sheets this season. If out of the three promoted teams, they're definitely going to be the best defensively. I'm still not convinced they've got enough goals in the team to stay up. But with games against Leicester, Chelsea, Southampton and Everton in the next four, I could definitely see them keeping another 2 clean sheets out of those 4 games. Leicester really haven't clicked going forward yet, and neither have Southampton. So there would be the games that I'm sure, both at home, I'm sure Sheffield will be targeting to keep things tight and try and nick a win. And as I mentioned before, I will be talking briefly about Lundstrom. But any of those Sheffield defensive assets, if you're looking to stream a defender position and change them each week, you could definitely do a lot worse than the likes of Ender Stevens, for example. The next goalkeeper is Pope, who may well be taken in a lot of the leagues out there. But again, despite a poor display by Burnley away to Arsenal, still came away with 3 points, got that extra save point, which I think he's going to do quite often for Burnley. And the third keeper is Ramsdale, the young keeper at Bournemouth. It was quite unclear before the season started who was going to get the number one spot, but he looks like he's been given the nod and so far doesn't look like he's going to get ousted from that spot. Looks good against Aston Villa. The only downside for Ramsdale is that next game is against Manchester City. And then the final game before the international break is away at Leicester. So maybe not the best time to bring him in, but definitely one to keep an eye on for a few weeks' time. Moving on to the defenders then, let's talk about John Lundstrom. 14 points this game week, scored the winning goal in a 1-0 win, picked up all three bonus points. As I think I mentioned in one of the earlier podcasts, John Lundstrom is definitely an out-of-position player on the game. I saw a tweet earlier in the week, and I can't remember who put it out there, showing a stat that in something like 250-plus career appearances, he's never played as a defender, usually plays as an attacking midfielder. So I'm not quite sure how he's ended up being listed as a defender on the fantasy game. And by the looks of things, he seems as though he's been listed as a defender across lots of the platforms. So I'm wondering if one of them's done it and the rest have just copied without doing their homework. But definitely a good option for maybe your fourth or fifth defender and one that could pick up the odd attacking return. He looked very busy in that game against Crystal Palace. The way Sheffield United play, most of their players seem to pop up in the box at some point during the match, and he was definitely one of them. The only downside, and one that might put you off, is the run of fixtures that they've got moving forward. So they're at home to Leicester, then they go away to Chelsea, then have Southampton at home, which, as I said earlier, would be a game they'll look to target, and then away to Everton. So it could get the odd goal or assist, but wouldn't be one I'd hold on to for any length of time. Could be the kind of guy you pick up for a week here and there, as and when needed. The next defender, and one I mentioned on the list of top scorers so far, is Yerry Mina for Everton. Got another 7 points this week on top of the 9 the week before. Seems to be a bonus point magnet, and I think if he was free in my draft league, he would potentially be my number one waiver target. Next, another player who I think I've spoken about on the podcast before is Emerson at Chelsea. No attacking returns yet, but it looks like he's definitely secured that left back spot. And I think once Rudiger returns to that central defence, things are going to really tighten up a lot more. He'll start to pick up those points for clean sheets, and I'm fairly certain that the attacking returns are going to start coming soon as well. Moving on to the midfielders then. Got a few familiar faces and a few who will be new to fantasy managers. I'm going to start off with one of the new boys, and that's Daniel Ceballos, the on-loan midfielder for Arsenal. Scored 11 points this game week, got both assists for the two goals and picked up all three bonus points. Looked really, really good, definitely passed the eye test, was involved in anything good that happened for Arsenal, looked really good on the ball, kept possession well, probing passes forward. As I said, picked up the two key assists for the game. And in the relative absence of Mesut Ozil for the past two seasons, he definitely looks like he's filling that Ozil-shaped hole in the Arsenal team. Now, there was quite a lot of hype about him pre-season, so may well have been drafted. But if anyone is able to pick him up in their league or somebody dropped him last week, he'd be another one similar to Yerry Mina, who would potentially be my first waiver target if he was available. Next is a more familiar face, and that's Dwight McNeil for Burnley. Got his first assist of the season against Arsenal to set up Barnes' goal. He looked really lively, and I think out of all the Burnley players, he was the one that stuck out for me. Could be one to pick up after the international break. So after they've got their games against Wolves and Liverpool out the way, would then maybe come into his own as they have a run of kinder fixtures. Great form towards the end of last season. Looks like he's still going to continue that on. And I think similar to how Ryan Fraser was at Bournemouth last year, can definitely see McNeil fulfilling a similar role. And if Burnley have a good day, I can see McNeil having a good day. Next is young Mason Mount. Been at Chelsea since he was a young teenager. After being out on loan, is now at Chelsea and getting a run in the team under Lampard. He's played all 180 minutes of the season so far. Scored Chelsea's goal against Leicester in a game which they probably should have won. They really allowed Leicester to come back into that game. But 10 points this game week, got a goal, got three bonus points, looks nailed on to start in one of those three spots behind the striker, and would definitely be somebody I'd look to pick up. I'd imagine there are a fair amount of draft leagues out there in which he's sitting free, so if the likes of Ceballos and McNeil aren't available, he'd definitely be the next pick for me. Another new face is Todd Cantwell for Norwich. Got 10 points again this game week and registered two assists for two of Pucky's goals and picked up two bonus points. He looked really lively, was in the box a lot. And again, I feel like he's nailed to start in that Norwich attacking lineup. Don't rate Norwich defensively at all. I think they're going to have the opposite problem to Sheffield United. I think scoring goals isn't going to be a problem with them. Pucky looks like he's found the pace of the Premier League straight away. All the players around him, the likes of Buendia and Cantwell, all look well tuned into how that attack's lining up. But it's just going to be a case of whether they're going to be able to outscore their opponents more often than not. Another familiar face now in Manuel Lanzini for West Ham. Got 8 points this week, 1 assist and 2 bonus points. He definitely looks to be the most settled in West Ham's front four. Obviously there was an injury to Haller and Chicharito came in and got the goal. I see that reverting back to Haller once he's fit again. But Lanzini again showing off his excellent dribbling ability, hence why he's going to always score well on the bonus points. They've got a good run of fixtures coming up, away to Watford, then at home to Norwich, away to Villa and then at home to Man U. I think similar to McNeil at Burnley, any of the goals that West Ham have and any of the joy that West Ham have, I think it's fairly likely Lanzini's going to feature in that. Now, last week I spoke quite a lot about Mopay for Brighton and even listed him as one of the Raheem Sterling rising stars, which is going to be a team of up-and-coming players as ones to watch for the season. And inevitably, Mopay didn't start, made a late substitute appearance and just picked up the single point. But the player who really did shine last week was Trossard, Leandro Trossard, new signing from Genk in Belgium. He's 24, so just reaching his prime. Got 11 goals and 4 assists last year for Genk in 24 appearances. Scored the goal to level things at the weekend against West Ham in his first appearance. Looked very good. I'm very tempted to give him a slot in the Raheem Sterling Rising Stars team, but we'll decide that at the end. And is definitely one to watch. I think out of all of the midfielders that I'm going to list, I think behind Ceballos at Arsenal, Trossard would be my number two if he wasn't available. And then the final midfielder I'm going to talk about very briefly is Leander Dendonca for Wolves. No attacking returns yet, but was often the furthest player forward for Wolves at times and could be one to keep an eye on. Finally then, let's have a look at the forwards, and there's only one I'm going to talk about this week, and you guessed it, it's Teemu Pukki. An amazing hat-trick, 3 bonus points, gave him 17 points for the game week, including 7 from the week before, puts him second overall behind Raheem Sterling. I think the question on many managers' lips will be, how sustainable is this? Now, next fixtures are at home to Chelsea, away to West Ham, at home to Man City and then away to Burnley. Now, he's obviously proven already he can score against the big boys. Got his goal against Liverpool at Anfield on the opening game week, opening game of the season. And the way he scored the hat-trick against Newcastle, I think, will be one that will instill a lot of confidence in those who have got him or looking to bring him in. Shown a full range of goals there, able to hold up defenders with ease, can score the technical goals, and it just looks like that whole Norwich attacking line are all on the same wavelength, and with the likes of Pukki at the helm, can see them scoring a lot of goals. As I said earlier, I don't think Norwich are going to have any problem scoring goals. It's going to be how many they let in at the other end. I can imagine there will be a clamour to sign Pukki on the waiver wire this week. If you're playing the official version of the game, then the person sitting bottom of the league will have first priority on the waivers, and if he wasn't picked up last week, he will almost certainly go to that player this week. And if you are listening and you are bottom of the league with the first waiver priority and Teemu Pukki is available in your league, you can either pick him up on the waiver wire or you can stay bottom. So before rounding things off, I'm just going to quickly outline some of the odds from the bookies, because I always think they're interesting to add into your calculations when you're planning your fantasy teams. The bookies don't like losing money, and so their values are generally ones you can trust Already mentioned a few of the clean sheet odds, but some of the notable ones for odds on to keep a clean sheet. So as I said, Spurs are the most likely with a probability of 57%. Next is Man United against Palace on 54%. Man City are on 52% away to Bournemouth. And Wolves at home to Burnley are on 48%. So just under 50-50 to keep a clean sheet there. In terms of conceding, Newcastle at 9% and Bournemouth at 8% are some of the more likely teams to concede. Also Arsenal on 13% and Norwich on 17% also look like they're likely to leak. And then looking at the anytime goal scorer odds, most of these players will be drafted in your leagues, but Harry Kane is the odds on to score this weekend with a probability of 67%, followed by Raheem Sterling and Sergio Aguero on 60%, and then the likes of Gabriel Jesus, Mo Salah, Timu Pukki, and Heung-min Son all in the 50s as well. As I said, if you're able to pick up any of those, it's an absolute no-brainer. Now, if you were listening to the podcast last week, you'll have heard about a couple of regular features I'm going to do each week, where I highlight a couple of players who fulfill slightly different roles, depending on whether you're looking in the short or the long term. So we've got the Nicolas Anelka Mercenary of the Week, which will be a player who I think is likely to score big in the next game week without really looking at any long-term benefits from them. And then we've got the Raheem Sterling Rising Stars, which will be a team that we keep an eye on throughout the season. Players without really much history in terms of fantasy football points, and we'll see how they get on. So I'm going to start with the Raheem Sterling Rising Stars. And I was torn between a couple of players. And, well, because I'm the one making up the rules, I'm just going to put them both in there to keep an eye on. They're both players I've already talked about already in the podcast, and they are Dwight McNeil for Burnley and Leandro Trossard for Brighton. So they're the two picks I'm adding to the list with Mopay to see how they get on over the season and ones who I expect to do big things. And then to round things off, we've got the Nicolas Anelka Mercenary of the Week. Now, last week in the first Mercenary pick, I went for Socrates at Arsenal, who scored a whopping 2 points. So we're 0-1 so far. But for this week, we're going to stay in North London. We're going to stay at centre-back, but this time we're in Lily White. And it's going to be Davinson Sanchez, who I'm selecting this week. As I've already said, Spurs are the most likely to keep a clean sheet based on the bookies' odds. And given the state of that Newcastle defence, could easily see him getting on the end of a set piece and heading in a goal as well. So that concludes the picks ahead of game week 3. Just a reminder, the waiver deadline this week is at 7 p.m. on Thursday the 22nd. That's because we've got another Friday night game, which is Aston Villa against Everton. And so the game week deadline is 7 o'clock on Friday the 23rd. If in the meantime you have any questions or want any advice on some potential waivers or trades, then you can contact us on Twitter at FPL Draft Hub Pod. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, then please subscribe so you can be notified of any new episodes. That's it for this week. Best of luck ahead of game week 3. Remember to stay shook, and I'll be back in your ears next week.